this is Zach with Bored With Friends. I just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements. First of all, really big thank you to everybody who has been listening. I've seen an increase in the numbers lately, and it's just been really nice to know that people are actually listening to our show. I really appreciate that with everybody. The other announcement I wanted to make was that we are actually going to reduce the number of episodes that we output from now on. It might be temporary, but for the most part, we're planning on just doing one a month. One main episode a month. It's just due to scheduling and just overall, you know, these off-the-cuff episodes that I've had to put out, I've not been very happy with them, and I want more time to edit and more time to plan the episodes that are going to be put out. So thank you for listening, and hopefully you keep listening. And, you know, the feedback that we've been getting is pretty positive, and I do appreciate any constructive feedback that anybody wants to send our way. But now, on with the show. Bored With Friends, episode 19, Bored With Myself.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%. I'm lazy. And I'm a mooch. What I do.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to Bored With Friends, the podcast about hobby gaming and proving that one really doesn't have to be the loneliest number. I'm Zach Dyer, and I am all by myself. We played games the other night, and we're going to record an episode, but it just was getting very late. We weren't able to actually get any useful material. And so now I am in my truck recording a quick episode that I've kind of had in my back pocket for a while, where I just wanted to talk about solo gaming. You know, mainly games that you can just play by yourself. And that there are a lot of games out there that people can buy that come with a solo variant. And there's a big stigma about it where it's not very good. And a lot of times they're right. They're not very good. Those are just kind of a tacked-on mode. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a, you know, the game is bad, but it just plays better with, you know, more people there. Plus, you have the social interaction of playing with your friends, you know, hence the name of our show. But that doesn't mean you can't have fun by yourself playing some of these games, or, you know, engaging in activities that are gaming-related, you know, the metagame, if you will. So, what I wanted to talk about was a couple different things that I do that are gaming-related that, you know, make this hobby, you know, expand the hobby for me beyond just playing games, or, you know, some games that I do end up playing by myself. Mainly, the games that I play are app-based ports of games. You know, Vanessa and I have talked about those kinds of things before, and I've mentioned them before on the regular show. But I have a bunch of games that have been ported to Android that I really enjoy. And sometimes I actually prefer the app to the actual game because there's no cleanup, there's no, you know, setup. It's just you load the app and you play your game, which is great. Games like Ticket to Ride, for example. Most of the time when I play Ticket to Ride, I'm actually playing it on my phone or my tablet because Days of Wonder put out this amazing application that they just update even more frequently. They had a small version out for iOS years ago, and then they put out a main version that was on Steam that got ported over to Android, I believe. I think it was on Steam first, but it got ported over to Android, and it was phenomenal. You were able to play online with other players, you were able to download other maps. It's just fantastic, and I think they finally opened it up so that you can play with iOS users as well, which is great, because I always enjoy cross-platform and multiplayer like that. You can also play against the AI, which is actually, well, the AI is not very good. Vanessa plays this version a lot, and she's always, you know, kicking the AI's butt, and she plays against me online, and she kicks my butt as well. But it's a lot of fun because there's no cleanup of the trains or anything like that. The graphics are great. Everything's cartoony and fun to look at. And it plays pretty fast, especially because there's no cleanup. I think you can pick it up on the Play Store for about $5, and it's worth every penny, honestly. And just like the game in real life, you can download expansions for it. So when they put out a new map, they make it available for you on, you know, the Play Store so that you can download it and try that out, too. It's just overall a really fun game that I enjoy, and I highly recommend it to people. Now that's Ticket to Ride from Days of Wonder. Another game that I really like to play on my phone is Patchwork. I've talked about this game before, but I really like this game. It was Rosenberg's game, I believe. And it just... I've never actually played the board version of it. We had an opportunity to play it at the gaming cafe that Vanessa and I visited last episode. But it just... You know, we decided to try something new at the time because we were happy with the version that's on our phone. It's just a really nice puzzly game. You have to try and, you know, you're collecting these patches that you're trying to create a quilt for. And I know that sounds a little boring as a theme, but it's actually very interesting to do because of the puzzle aspect. I mean, they could have tacked on anything to this, but putting on the actual, you know, quilting aspect to it made it an interesting theme that you don't see that often. So you basically, on your turn, you have these buttons that act as the currency of the game, and you use those buttons to purchase little patches, and you have to fit them onto your grid that you are sewing your quilt on, and they go together and they form a nice little quilt, just like my mother made when we were little and we used it for picnics. And it's just a cool, quiet little game that you can play, and it's multiplayer as well. You can play it over the internet against another player. It's just a two-player game, so you don't have to worry about tons of people not taking their turn. And because the turns are quick, you can play this game and, you know, you can bang it out in 10-15 minutes. It's great. It also plays not in real time. So it sends the turn to the other player and then you wait for them to play their turn. So if you're not in the same place, if I'm at work and Vanessa's at home, you know, it's okay because I might be busy doing something at work and then I can play my turn. She'll send me text messages letting me know that it's my turn, but at the same time, I can, you know, I don't have to rush through the game. I can wait and go back, and I get a notification letting me know that it's my turn. So it's a neat way to game while you're out and about and away from each other. I really like Patchwork, and I also recommend that one to anybody who has an Android or an iPhone phone device, because you can play it on the tablets as well. Those are the apps that I've been playing the most lately and have been having a lot of fun with. And those are the ones that I don't, you know, sometimes I'll download something and I'll try it and I didn't really like it. Like, I tried the Kingdom Builder app and I tried the Castles of Mad King Ludwig app. And I was really interested to try those games, but I just didn't like their apps. And so I was able to, you know, try them. They didn't cost a lot of money, and especially on the Play Store, you can actually refund with if it's within a certain amount of time. I believe it's 20 minutes. So I got to try the game, and I didn't like it within that time frame. I was able to return it and get my money back, which was great. Because some of these games are really expensive, so I do recommend try before you buy with an app version of a game. Sometimes that's all you need is the app version of the game, too, and you're still supporting the developer and supporting the the printer, the company, you know, the person who's publishing the game and the creator of it, which is really nice. Outside of app-based games, the other thing I wanted to talk about was just different things that you can do that involve the community. You know, we have such a great community with board games. I've been reaching out on Twitter, on Facebook, and I've been outspoken about how much I dislike social networking, but honestly, on Facebook, I'm part of the board game forum, and I can post on there with questions, and there's a huge community of people who just reach out and, you know, give you answers and helpful tips and just support and things. Because one of the things I've recently gotten into is painting miniatures. Something I never thought I would do. I was never much of an artist or, you know, a painter. But I decided to try it. I had bought the Zombicide game that I was talking about in a previous episode. And I've been painting these minis and having a real fun time learning different techniques. One of the gentlemen who contributes to Dice Tower's Board Game Breakfast, Rob Oren, he gives some great tips on that show. And I was able to use those to, you know, make my miniatures a little bit better and bang out some of these zombies, you know, a lot faster. Because, honestly, there are a ton of miniatures in this Zombicide game, and I'm still, you know, overwhelmed by the amount that I have to get done. And it's just incredible, you know, the tips that I found online and reaching out to the different members of the community. So I encourage you, if you're new to this hobby, you know, get involved with Board Game Geek. You know, get on those social networking, you know, things, and just social networking things. I still have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to social networking. Vanessa just makes fun of me constantly because I don't know. I have to ask her how to use Facebook, and I'm a guy who works in the technology industry. I just have no patience for it. But I really like the community, so I'm having fun reaching out and talking to them. So that that's something that you might want to try. Some of these games, they come with beautiful sculpted miniatures. Pick up some cheap paint at Walmart and some brushes and just try it out. You don't have to delve into the really expensive paints, although honestly, some of them that I've tried now are way better than that Apple Blossom crap that Walmart sells. They just look better, the paint goes on smoother. But for practice, those kind of paints are really good. They're cheap, they're in, you know, I think it's like 99 cents a bottle. And you can find, you know, those paints at any Walmart and pick them up, and, you know, they're good for practice. I also recommend, instead of diving into a really expensive game with tons of miniatures that you may not like, yeah, I got Zombicide for really cheap, but if you go to the toy aisle at Target or Walmart or Toys R Us, they have these little blind bagged, this is all the craze now, these blind bagged miniatures for different franchises. My daughter's like the My Little Pony ones, the Dr. Stuffins ones. I picked up the Transformer ones. Hasbro calls them Tiny Titans or something like that. You pick those up, they're really inexpensive. You got a decent sized miniature, and it's a nice practice painting palette to use. That was fun to say, practice painting palette. You can pick those up, you get a, you know, a random character of whoever, and you just paint it. Prime it, paint it, whatever colors you want, paint it the colors of the actual character, whatever you want to do. But it's a, I find that that was a really great way to get into, you know, the practice without having to spend $90 or $100 on some, on a game that, you know, I may not like or may not ever finish. And I bought those and painted quite a few. I think I posted pictures of it online of the different Transformers that I've painted. And it's just been a lot of fun. And now I finally transitioned over to painting this Zombicide game. I still haven't actually played Zombicide, but I've had a lot of fun painting the miniatures. And once they're done painting, or maybe when they're not, I'm going to get the game in and, you know, bust it out and see if I actually like it. But I was able to get that for really cheap. So I recommend, if you're going to try painting, get into the, you know, pick up some of those blind bags first. Unless you already have a game that has miniatures in it and you want to try it. But I did have a few games with miniatures that I wanted to paint, but I felt uncomfortable just diving in and painting those because I didn't want to make the game look bad. I wanted to get some practice in first. So those blind bag miniatures that, you know, they sell in the toy aisles, they're like $2 or $3 a pop. But at the same time, that's way cheaper than a $90 game or ruining your game. So that's really what I wanted to talk about today. Not a long episode, I apologize for that. But because we didn't really get to record with the game that we played, we actually played Loop Incorporated. And we'll probably talk about that on the next big episode. But just to put something out today, get you guys some content. I've been, you know, thinking about talking about this for a while and explaining what I do outside of just playing the games or what map-based games I do. So hopefully that helped and you like some of these recommendations. But that wraps up this episode of Board with Friends. Thanks for listening.
And that wraps up this episode of Board with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to contact us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at boardwithfriend, or like us on Facebook. If you enjoyed our show, check out some of the other great podcasts on the Friends on a Couch network, like Talk Wrestle Talk. Until next time, thanks for listening.